From Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Leftovers with Jay and Jeff, a podcast dedicated to HBO's The Leftovers. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Meg, having a Coke and a smile.
And welcome to the show. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing fantastic. Just got back from Jacksonville, Florida.
The finest of the Jacksonvilles, from what I hear.
Yes, I think so. I would say it's a nice little town. It's a nice, quiet little, I mean, before we saw, just not a lot of people roaming the streets. It was a nice place, nice people. Had a good time.
Well, I guess Green Bay would be the smallest with a football team, but would it be the second smallest city with a football team?
Probably, I guess. I don't know. It's just, like I said, fans are pretty nice. They leave way too early. and it wasn't sold out. There was a lot of empty seats.
Well, yeah.
But it was a good, it's a great place to watch a game. It was almost like being in, it was like I kept feeling I was in San Diego because the sun was on us the whole game.
Yeah.
The sun was just beating it because there was no, you know, people wearing shorts. I just at the last second said, let me throw some shorts in here. And it was like 77 degrees.
Oh, nice.
Today it was 80 and we were leaving, 80, 81.
Nice.
So by time, and so we were shorts leaving. And so when we got here, it's 46 degrees and raining and cold, wet.
It was a great weekend though here. I know you left. It was in the 70s, which was nice.
We decided to leave when it was nice here.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say the only drawback to driving to a town and watching a football game on Sunday is you risk not seeing the leftovers right away. And this episode was fantastic. Just great episode.
I was watching the football game. And I was watching the Sunday night game.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm about ready to give up on it. And then the Patriots fumbled.
Yep.
Punt. I go, let me keep watching. So I kept watching.
And sorry,
so
Tucker.
I was on the Twitter and stuff going back and forth. I go, wait. I need to get off Twitter because Walking Dead talk and Leftovers talk was popping up. I go, I don't want to be spoiled. So I closed my computer down. And then later on that night, I have HBO Go, and I can watch it anywhere. And so I watched it in the hotel room.
Nice. What a twist ending. And like a really good twist ending. It wasn't like just out of nowhere just for to shock you. It was like a really good twist.
Well, because when you see the twist about 20 minutes into the episode, 15 minutes into the episode, you're like, all right, this is weird. What is going on here? So you start thinking, okay, something's going on here. I had her being somewhere around there, but not in the trailer.
Yeah.
I thought the thing was going to explode when
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Like she was the last person I expected to be in the trailer. And
I figured she had something. I knew there was something going on between them.
Oh yeah,
because Meg kept, I'm going to Texas, so she'd obviously been there before. When she got there, I go, all right, something with Evie, but I wasn't really putting anything together. And I go, wow, okay.
I mean, just a great, great reveal. Before we get into more talk, I do want to thank the people that make this show possible, and that's our patrons over at patreon.com/JayandJack. Thank you so much to all of the patrons that support to this show. Well on our way to our first or second goal, actually, of $1,000 a month. We've already hit our first goal, which is $500, which we'll be doing a Firefly Serenity podcast in the winter season here. Thank you to everybody that contributes and makes it possible. If you'd like to become a patron today, you can do that over at patreon.com/JayandJack. And this also might be the first episode we have with normal ads, too, being put in, which also helps keep this show going. And that's a big thank to being now a part of Blog Talk Radio, which is really exciting. So some new things to keep making this show possible. So thank you to all of our patrons. Now, getting back to it here, and before we get into the recap, and actually today the recap will be led by Action Jackson for the first time, I think, in any podcast we've ever done together.
I think, the Fringe season 4, I think I did most of the talking.
Yes.
So maybe
we didn't
that
do
was
like
it.
Actual like recaps.
No, so. But I did the Fringe season 5 with Colleen. I did the recaps.
Yeah. But with me.
With you. No, I don't think so. I've always just sat back and been the, I don't know.
Color commentator? Yeah.
Color commentator. Just the guy that just sits back and, because when I told you, I just got home. I said, I should be done by 9. I said, oh, wait a minute. I have to watch the whole, I can't just fast forward through this because I watch it
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll fast forward through scenes where I go, okay, I got the gist of that. So I had to watch the whole episode again and take down like 6-7 pages of notes. So let's see.
It's 7 pages of notes? That's a lot of notes.
I'm counting.
We'll wait for you.
7, 8, 9.
9 pages?
9 pages of notes.
Is it now, like 2 words per page? Like,
well, I skip a line, though. I don't go.
Oh, okay.
Because if I don't, it all blurs together.
So it's skipping lines and making the text big enough so that you can read it.
Exactly. And then, but as it goes on, like page 6, you can tell that, okay, I'm tired of writing.
Well, we'll do the best we can.
We'll have to figure out what's going on. And like I said, it's such an important episode. I said, all right, I will.
Well, first, I'm not well today, and
you're not well any day.
That's true, but today specifically, unwell. So big thanks to Jack for doing the recap today, so that we can still record.
Even though I just drove 6.5 hours back from Jacksonville, Florida, on one of the it's the most boring drive. And I'm not criticizing the great states of Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. It's just like nothing going on. It's like there's nothing to look at.
Yeah, you're south of the border halfway. So
south of the border!
Not halfway, more than halfway.
Cool, you get those signs. I think the first sign on the way back I saw was 182 miles. I go, okay, got that to look forward to.
There you go. Usually I do have to give you some kudos. And usually I will, you know, give you a hard time if you tend to harp on some minute details. Sometimes I'm like, why are we wasting time on this? Just move on. And one of those details was in the first episode when they were driving silently in the car. Now, I bring that up because there was a great Variety article with Damon Lindelof doing the interview and explaining things and talking about things. So his whole thing was we wanted to make sure that the twist just wasn't a twist for twist's sake. There's actually clues in there so that when the twist happened, you'd go back and go like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. So let me pull it out here. Let me see. Let me make sure I pull it up. But what he talks about is that them not talking in the car was a clue because the Guilty Remnant doesn't talk, right? So
right.
Why were they all having fun, fancy free, and then when they get in the car by themselves, they're perfectly quiet. So he said those types of things were clues that set up that, you know, they would actually become a part of the Guilty Remnant. So I want to give you kudos because
thank you.
You brought that up and you talked about it, and I thought, I was like, that's just a little point. You're like, no, there's no little points. Anything Damon Lindelof does.
No, but it's like an episode of, you have to look. It just didn't make sense.
Now, I don't want to vout at you, and now you go and look every stone and pebble on the show, but it was a very, very good.
Well, every now and then, you know, you get lucky. It just seemed weird because they're all, and then staring straight ahead. Now, we thought maybe she was in one of her, I guess we didn't think it. So there was a theory out there someone had that maybe she was, you know, how she has those epileptic seizures or whatever she's doing. Maybe that was happening. The girls were just being quiet.
Because he references kind of how in The Walking Dead, the problem with that, there was a, you know, bit of a cliffhanger. And the problem with that is they left it open to everybody that discusses it. And they pretty much, you know, sussed out what was going to happen before the show even aired. And then once it happens, like, yeah, of course that's what happened because we already figured it out.
And it was kind of like after a month, it was like, okay, you wasted our time.
Yeah. So he said, so if The Leftovers is going to have a twist, if we have any chance of surprising people at all, we really have to hide it, but we have to make it fair. There are things in the premiere like the girls driving in silence. You see them goofing around listening to music and kind of busting the balls of the guys who's gathering water. And then they get in their car and they're driving silently in stone face. And there are little moments like when they're singing the miracle song with some sense of cynicism and the oddness of the knock-knock joke. And obviously the gift that Evie gives to her father, we're going to revisit that in the finale. So,
yeah, what is it? So we know what it is? It's a small box.
Yeah. So
has he opened it yet? Do we know if he's opened it yet?
We don't. But right. Anywho, so kudos.
All right, so you ready?
Yeah, let me get the recap song ready.
Leftovers recap.
All right, it's Leftovers recap time. Jack, what happened?
Okay, this episode is titled 10-13.
Yeah.
So 10-13.
Obviously talking about October 13th, which was a day for Megan, which her mother passed away. Spoiler alert.
Right. So, yeah. No, thanks. I don't even have to do the recap now. Thanks. No, so we start off with Meg snorting some coke.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, what's going on here? So you don't know what's going on. We don't know what's really going on at this point. But we find out she's having lunch with her mom, who's played by Betty Buckley. And you know what was Betty Buckley famous for?
I do not know.
Cats, the Broadway play Cats, and also Eight is Enough.
Well, there you go.
She was the mother that there was an actress on there, and I'm drawing a blank on her name, but she passed away, and Betty Buckley took over as the stepmother of the children, and Eight is Enough.
Ah.
I was sitting there looking at that. I watched it all last night trying to figure it out, and when I watch it today, and your mom goes, oh, that's Betty Buckley from Eight is Enough. I go, ah. People can just do that look at it.
Now, my question for you is, you generally, you know, project yourself as a macho man. How did you know that she was on the Broadway show Cats?
Because I just remember her, Betty Buckley, being in Cats. I've never seen Cats, but she'd be like on the talk shows, like Letterman and the Tonight Show and stuff like that. And they do the cat thing. What's a cat song? Midnight? Is it Midnight?
My wife would know. I don't know.
Meow, meow. I don't know. Yum, 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 yum. No, anyway. Now, does she have to snort the cocaine because she can't deal being with her mom?
I'm not going to pretend that I've done cocaine, but from what I understand, it's a stimulant, right? So it just makes her happy.
And she says, this will work.
Yes. And but again, I felt like she had to go back for another bump pretty quick. It was only 10 minutes later. I was like, man, this is.
Yeah. But her mom. Ordered her salad without walnuts.
Yes.
And can I please have it without walnuts? And she's like, oh, no problem. And then, of course, Meg, they're going back and forth. The mom wants to insist on paying for the wedding. Meg goes, you don't have to pay for the wedding. You don't have to pay for the wedding.
Yeah.
She goes, but, you know, I don't want you paying for – you still owe me for those boots.
Well, she didn't say owe you for boots. I think she said, I bought those boots. She's like, what boots? She's like, the ones you didn't have the money for. I bought them for you.
She goes, oh. I forgot about paying. So she writes her out a check. She insists on writing her a check. And her mom says, well, don't write it for the 13th. That's bad luck. Make it for October 14th.
Yeah.
And so she wants to tell Meg. She has something to tell Meg, but says, oh, Meg says, I got to pee first.
Even though I just stood in the bathroom 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, stood in the bathroom 10 minutes ago. But I did like how she said something like, a lady doesn't say pee.
Yes.
Does use the word pee. So Meg goes in the bathroom, does some more coke. She comes out after snorting some, and her mom, Jane, is laying on the ground dead. They're trying to revive her, doing CPR, but it's not happening. Meg just has that look on her face like, I should have held off on the last trip to the bathroom. Because now she doesn't know what her mom was going to tell her.
Yeah, exactly.
Next thing we see is Meg and Bill, her fiance, on the bus going to Miracle.
Yeah.
And they're all singing the water song.
Yep. Take me to the water.
Take me to the water. And then they take the tour.
Uh-huh.
Which is a nice little tour.
I kind of like how it's like when they first started the park. You kind of get to see it from that perspective.
Right. And I like how the rangers all make sure you wear those badges. Make sure we're going to come out and get you.
But I love it. Seems like everybody's still friendly about it. They haven't been probably, used and abused as much. Right. But also, it's kind of cool to see some of the scenes explained that they're going to.
Yeah. You have the gas explosion on October 14th.
So here's the thing. The same thing happened in New York, right? Remember the gas lines exploded when the departure happened. So that's an interesting little call out.
I think it's a clue.
Yeah. So they've said the departure is never going to be explained, but it's interesting that they're calling out something that happened in Miracle. Also, we saw happen. Kevin Garvey saw it.
They say it won't be solved, but they just still like to mess with us.
Yeah.
Let's put that in here. That'll mess with their brains. So we get that one. They leave the damage as a reminder.
Yep.
Number 13 is Cecilia. She's wearing her dress that she was wearing that day. And she takes pictures for the people. And she asks, hey, do you guys want a photo? And Bill says, no, we're good.
Get old really quick.
I guess, but if you're making she's probably making money, right?
I guess so.
And maybe people like their 15 minutes of fame, and now she's had fame for, almost a year.
Well, I think they said it was about 2 years after October 4th when they went there.
Was it 2 years?
I thought so.
2 months. It was only 2 months.
Was it 2 months? Okay.
It was only 2 months when they first went there because it hasn't been a year yet.
Has it
coming up on the first? No, it's coming up on the second anniversary, right?
I thought so. Well, no. Okay. So the first season was like the third anniversary. It was 3 years ago.
That's
this season's
right.
Coming up on the fourth anniversary.
Fourth anniversary. Yeah, you're correct.
So I felt like they said somewhere it was 2 years.
I don't know. I'm trying to write all this stuff down.
That's okay.
It's complicated.
It's stressful. I know.
Trying to do things. And so Meg stops at a house. It's Isaac's, and Isaac is inside.
Yeah, he just started a couple weeks ago. But he's legit. He's totally
legit.
And
Bill says, you know, it's okay. I want you to get the answers you need. The answers are going to make you happy. So he understands that Meg needs some answers.
Yeah.
Isaac tells Meg to have a seat. Meg doesn't have to make a handprint.
That's only if you want to know the future.
It's only if you want to know the future. He gives Meg something to chew on, and Meg spits it back in Isaac's hand, which I think is really nice. It's really cool. Meg wants to know what her mom was going to tell her. Isaac says, "You don't want to know." He gives a nice story about how when people are on their deathbed, they say things and something.
They have
like
time
this.
To prepare for it. Their last
time
words.
Prepare. Last words. He goes, "You don't want to know it. I don't think you're going to
want to satisfy you, right?
Never satisfy you." And Isaac doesn't want to tell her. Meg thinks he's a fraud.
Yeah.
Isaac tells her she returned her salad because she didn't want walnuts.
Boom.
Which I agree. I'm just not a big walnut person.
Oh, walnuts on salad is fantastic.
Really? I'm just not a big walnut.
Oh,
I'm just
yeah.
not, I mean, I'll eat if they're there. I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole thing of cracking them and all that stuff. They had
well,
to
be, like they're already cracked. Like, it's not like an uncracked walnut on the salad.
I know. I get that. I'm sure they don't bring a walnut in its shell in the salad. I'm just not
right
a big
on the top.
I'm just not a big guy. I'll eat them if they're there, but I'm not going through.
If it's like a strawberry kind of salad, where it's salad and like it's a little bit of sweet, then the walnut adds a little bit of savory. It's a good combo.
Now, give me some croutons, some bacon bits, some stuff like that, and I'm good. Some cheese, some sunflower. I like sunflower seeds, with the shell in it, the seedless sunflower seeds on top of it. That's good, but I don't want the walnuts.
Okay.
Kind of dry. I'm just saying.
Okay, hey, listen, you're entitled to your opinion.
So I have no problem with Jane sending back the walnuts. Meg tells Bill that Isaac wasn't the real deal.
So once, now, I mean, we assume she was told what her mom said.
Yeah, he told her something, but we don't find out what was said. But your mom said, was she going to tell him something about Bill?
Oh, okay.
I never thought about that.
Yeah,
but. Why would she, if it's something negative, why would she insist on paying for the wedding?
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of shot your mom's theory. I said, wow, that's a great theory. Can I use it? Wait a minute.
Whoa.
I said, hold on a second. I go, why would she insist on paying?
There's a vetting process that has to happen.
Yeah, I said, why would you insist on paying for a wedding if you didn't like the person that they were marrying?
Yes, agreed.
Well, anyway, so we'll see what happens. Meg is sitting on a bench crying. She's holding her mom's sweater. Because she brought a sweater, she put the thing because she thought that Isaac needed that to
connect with her.
What do you think he told Meg though?
Is it whatever it is? Well, he kind of said that people that come in broken, me telling you this isn't going to fix what makes you broken, right? That's not,
right.
It's not going to change anything. You're just
right.
You're broken. And I think it was kind of showing her, snorting the coke just to try and be happy. It's obvious before any of this happened, she was broken already.
Right. She was self-medicating to get her through life.
Yeah. So
even though Bill was trying to make her happy, nothing was making Meg happy.
So I think he's right in that whatever he said doesn't matter. She's broken regardless. And yeah. As an audience, I don't think it matters what his mother said. If that's okay, if that's passable, that's what
okay.
I feel.
All right.
What do you think?
Okay.
You think we need to know?
I think we always need to know.
Yeah.
I think it's the key. I think whatever he told her is the key. It pushed her over the top.
Yeah.
Whatever her mom was saying pushed her over the top. Was going to say, I'm sorry, because mom's no longer here. She's in space. Meg is sitting on a bench.
Would you
crying.
Like that to be shot in space?
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Just make sure your insurance at least has extra $12,000 in there. Just
but
so
I'm pretty practical. I'm not going to have my family pay $12,000. You can just put me in a bucket outside or something like that.
Well, I mean, most funerals, that's not too bad, $12,000. I mean, just the coffin alone is like
I think that's ridiculous.
$10,000.
just put me in the fireplace, heat me up.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And put me out with the, because I mean, really, I'm just being honest. I mean, I don't want my family spending that kind of money.
Well, you get life. That's what life insurance is for. It just pays for it when you die.
Isn't it weird that life insurance pays for your death?
Well, it's not paying for your death. It pays for
It just pays
what happens after your death. That's what it's there for.
I get it, but it's like it's still a waste of money. Go to Vegas. Have a good time. Let's see. Meg sits on a bench crying. Evie offers her some baby carrots. And I'm like going, Evie, this is weird. Mm-hmm. But she was downtown, I guess, a lot with her brother probably.
Yeah.
Because you can't cry when you eat them. And I went like going, all right, I've eaten baby carrots a lot.
Do you cry while you eat them?
I said, maybe they should give them to Stephen Fishbeck next time he's on Survivor.
But I'm cha.
Anyway, Evie tells Meg she's sorry you didn't get. Well, they tell the joke. You want to tell the knock knock joke?
So knock knock.
Who's there?
Broken pencil.
Broken pencil. Who?
Never mind. It's pointless.
Ah.
So I mean, that's a joke that Evie told her father in the first episode.
Right.
So that kind of connects the two. And again, at the time, I was like, oh, okay, that's neat. You know, there's those interconnection things that happen. And okay, that's cool. She met with them. You know, it's something that we're with a Lindelof show. There's always these, you know, connections in people's lives and how they kind of cross, you know, their storylines cross each other. So I thought that was cool.
It's like it's true in real life.
Yeah. Right. There's just those weird connections, those things that we think are coincidences, you know, that maybe aren't coincidences. But I thought that was, again, if we're talking about setting up the twist, it was a great way. And even then, I was just like, I was like still oblivious to.
Yeah, I'm still going. I'm suddenly going, what is going on here?
Because I think part of it, too, was Patty saying that, oh, they disappeared.
Right. But Patty wasn't there.
Agreed, yeah. But again,
Patty,
I
said that at the time. I go, Patty, she's not there. She doesn't know what happened.
I mean, I get it.
Because Kevin didn't know what happened. Kevin was oblivious.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed, too, that all the palm prints that Isaac gets a palm print, too. That's how he reads. I forgot that he gets how he reads people is he gets a palm print. Well, the palm print's the one that is what they were taking when they're trying to find out who abducted the girls.
Yeah.
It's all about the palm print, man. So Evie tells Meg, she's sorry you didn't find out what you were looking for here. Nobody ever does.
Mm-hmm.
So now we see that Meg that Evie's not really happy about being there.
Yeah.
So there's a door opening there. Bill and Meg get back on the bus, but before Meg gets on the bus, she just spits at the town and gives the town a dirty look.
Yep.
So she was happy when she got there.
Because there was the hope. There was the hope that this place would make her feel better.
But it didn't make her feel better. She's still hurting. She's still suffering. I don't know.
Well, it's like a lot of things where people say, like, if you're unhappy or whatever, you know, more whatever it is, more money, some special place, like, that's not, you have to be happy first. Like, you have to, you have to love yourself, you know, all those kinds of things. Like, you have to be good on the inside first. You're not just going to go somewhere and everything's fixed, you know?
No.
So it's a good kind of life lesson there. That's kind of.
But I thought it was a great, great scene. I thought the acting was great and her look was just anger. And when she spit, I'm like going, huh?
Yeah.
She's spitting on the town of magic.
Miracle. Magic. Can we start our own town called Magic?
We can. You can do magic. Magic Johnson can run it.
Yeah.
Or we can have the Orlando Magic there.
So many options.
Okay. Yeah, we could go on and on and on with that one. Okay. Then we have next scene is a bus driver's coming up. He comes up to the GRs.
Yep.
He stops the bus. They pull the driver out. He's saying, no, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Meg walks in with a grenade.
Yep.
Pulls the pin, rolls the grenade down the aisle. They take the crowbar and lock the door behind him as the kids go screaming.
Yeah.
And pounding on the door. Meg just walks away with a look on her face. Now, here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Did the grenade, was it a dud grenade?
It was a dud grenade. I think they confirmed that in the next scene.
Because there's no way it took too long for the grenade to go off.
Exactly.
The grenade would go off. Plus the kids, there's a back door in a bus.
Well, the grenade's back there, though.
Well, you get out. We're trying to get out. There's another door. It'll take you forever to all use the same door.
It might be in bad taste, but I guess nobody ever taught one of the kids how to fall on the grenade.
That's true. Well, they don't teach them how to walk both ways. Getting out of bus. It really. I mean, I'm not.
There should be bus etiquette there.
There should be teaching kids how to get off a bus and look both ways. They don't do it.
But I will say, it was a disturbing scene. Just because
it was, I said, "Oh my God, don't blow up!"
Yeah,
don't blow up.
I think for parents out there, people that have loved ones, like it's if you think, especially kids. Kids are innocent; they didn't do anything,
right? And we see that in the next scene too. Meg goes to see three heads of the GR. I'm assuming they ask her about the bus.
They start writing it down, and Meg's not really having that.
Meg goes, "Can we just communicate and talk?"
There might have been some F-bombs in there. It is a...
The woman talking is on the 100. I know that.
Okay.
The TV show, the 100. She tells him after the incident with the dogs, she's crossed the line with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something going on with dogs. I keep harping on the dogs.
It's true.
And you go like, it's not a big deal about that. There's something going on with dogs. And so...
There's a lot of vindication for you in this episode.
She goes, we don't target kids. That's why they don't live with us.
Yeah.
It's because they don't want the authorities coming to investigate, doing all this different stuff. So that makes sense why there's no kids there.
Yeah.
Plus kids. Can you really tell kids to be quiet nowadays?
And nowadays, I think that's just in general, isn't it?
And kids, you don't want them to smoke or stunt their growth. So you can't have the secondhand smoke around them. It's just all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
She tells her violence is a weakness. And Meg goes, that's not true.
Yeah.
There are rumors you're planning to... your own actions on October 14th. Meg goes, not me. There's rumors you're buying plastic. You're trying to buy plastic explosives. Nope, not me. We're just painting signs and all that stuff. She goes, she demands that she tells Meg mm-hmm. for to have her Doomsbury with her people there.
Yeah. Well, she's so like basically she's like, hey, there's stick. All I gotta say is stick to the plan.
Stick to the plan.
Yeah, it's obvious that she's kind of going rogue and starting up her own faction here.
Yeah. Well, she's talking. So that's got to be the...
What's interesting is, like, this episode, and I think a lot of people like this season because the guilty remnant hasn't been in it that much, and when they are in it, you know, they're getting run over by Lori.
F you, Lori!
But I feel like I understood the GR the most I've ever understood him so far in this episode, where... Their point is just to remind people that the world didn't. I know they've said it before, and I know it's been said. I know this isn't anything new.
Their tactics are terrible, though.
Yeah.
Because I think even Meg pointed out, she goes, yeah, I could sit there and stare at these people till they come out and put their finger or cigarette in my face or something like that. He's going on and on and on. She goes, that doesn't work.
Yeah, we're going to put the cigarette in their eye. So
I've been inside for a year now.
Yeah. So.
She's just angry.
She is. She's, again, she's...
And the whole thing was ticking me up about this whole thing about her. She didn't lose anyone. Her mom died the day before.
But I think, what was his name? Said it before when he met her that, or somebody said it, that it was a shame. Or I think it might be Matt that said it. It's a shame
Matt
because
said it.
Nobody, you know, like your mother died, so your world... was, you know, dramatically affected, but the next
world
day,
is,
everybody lost people, so they stopped caring about what happened to you.
Yeah. But still, I get it, but it's just, I had to throw the challenge flag on that one.
Okay, Meg is obviously a flawed person, right?
She's very flawed.
Yeah. But she's a good bad guy, I think.
She's an excellent bad guy because she's so evil in this episode, and she's been pretty weird, you know, she's just evil, but you look at her and you go, she's pretty. She's nice. She's soft talker. You know, she's not a very loud person. It's like she's like the perfect evil person.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't think she'd be evil.
No. Well, it's a story arc too, right? She's just
right.
She's uninhibited. She's just letting loose. So.
Right. So you got Tommy is preaching to the people. Meg walks in, which I thought was a great scene. Tommy doesn't see her at first. Then when he sees her, he kind of hesitates, but then he keeps speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He tells them he can hug their pain away.
Well, she goes to this because when she met with the GR heads, the heads of GR said, you're supposed to take care of this, and now he's going around, we've lost 10 members, et cetera, since then.
Right. And from the New Rochelle, that's That's Dick Van Dyke's place, isn't it?
It is. Dick Van Dyke? Past Westchester there, near
so
Westchester.
So she went, oh, Rob, I need a hug. Let's see. So then he tells them, you can hug her. He hugs this one girl, and she's hugging the, you know, they're getting, and he's getting donations. You can see they're putting money into a cup. And then Meg tells Tom, Meg, he goes, he kind of looks at her, he goes, and your name is? It's Meg, isn't it? Do you need a hug? Can I give you a hug? Please don't kill me. Let's go. Don't pour gasoline on me again. So Meg, as they're hugging, Meg whispers in Tommy's ear, I can do this for real.
Yeah.
And then I think, which is an excellent scene next, Lori comes in, and she's complaining to Tommy that she had to give 30 people back their donations.
Yeah.
So the whole scene goes back and forth. That was a great scene. Tommy's just fed up.
Yeah. You know, and you can see why, right? Because it seems like she's only caring about the money or just trying to...
So it's a fraud. Tommy can't cure people with their hugs, and I think I said that was probably the case. I'm pretty much on a roll this episode, like you said. So they're going back and forth. You pimped out your son, and then he goes. Then he just they're going back and forth, and she goes, "Your book sucked. And this didn't work, and all this stuff." Because she still needs it to build it. She wants to build a church or a permanent building because she still wants to have the plan of saving people from the GRs. And Tommy says, "You destroyed your family by," and then Lori goes, smack, smacks Tommy. And I thought Tommy was going to jump him but hit her back. But he looks at her and she goes, I'm sorry, Tommy. I'm sorry, Tommy. I'm sorry, Tommy. And then Tommy walks out. So now we know why Lori was in Texas.
Yes, exactly.
Because it didn't make sense. And now it makes sense that Lori knew that Tommy was in Texas. That's why she came looking for him. She didn't know. She probably didn't know he came with Meg.
No.
But
she went there because she knew that the Garveys were there. So that
maybe he went to there. But she knew that Tommy was in Texas.
Well, okay. She didn't know. She just assumed he was there because...
No, I think she knew.
Okay.
I'm just saying she knew.
Okay.
Someone told her. She found she had someone in the GRs in the inside. We have Tommy sleeping on a park bench. He wakes up. A lady pulls up, lets her dog out, and then drives away.
Yeah.
Again with the dogs. What is with the dogs? The poor dog's just sitting there.
Yeah. Poor thing.
So there's something going on with dogs.
Yeah.
All during season one, there was an incident with dogs that the one GR was telling Megan that she had done something with dogs. So this whole dog thing's freaking me out. Drunk Tommy goes looking for Meg. He goes back to where he was captured by the GRs. He's getting to that girl's face. You're the one that blew the whistle. Where's Meg? And then the next scene we've seen is Tommy getting beat up by a GR. And I don't think he cares.
No.
He's just in pain. I think he just has had it. He's just done. Like I said, his whole life got destroyed when his mom walked out of him, out on him, and he's hurting. He's in pain.
Yep.
Meg asked Tommy what he wants. He wants Meg to take his pain away. Meg tells him, "Well, you could hug yourself," or "Why don't you just hug yourself?" I thought it was a great line. Megan, they have a good scene, and then Tommy tells about his family being in Texas, and Texas goes, "Well, I'm going to Texas. Why don't you come with me?" And then she starts laughing with the evil laugh. It's the evil.
I don't know exactly like that, but okay.
It was just like that. A perfect impression of Megan's laugh. Anyway.
I think it's Megan more like the laugh of the dastardly dog. Go ahead.
Anyway, so Meg is, they're driving along and there's silence. And then her phone rings. Was it crickets?
Something like that.
So Meg goes, "Can you give me my phone, please?" And she hands him the phone and she's talking. And she says, "I'll see the bridge tomorrow. I'll see it for myself tomorrow." So Tommy wants to know why he had sex with her. He used a different word, but I'll just say had sex with her. And then he asks again. And Meg looks at him and goes, "Oh, a honky tonk. Want to dance, Tommy?" So they stop at this honky tonk.
Right.
So they're having some drinks. Well, Meg has the first drink, and then Tommy's just kind of staring at her, and Meg goes, "I'll have yours." They go, "Oh, no." Tommy goes, "I like to drink." So they have a couple drinks, and she asks him, "Who's the blonde?" And he goes, "What?" And he goes, "Your blonde hair. You know, both your parents have black hair." And so he tells him a story how Kevin, you know, he's not his natural father. Kevin adopted him when he was 4. And then she tells a story how her mom got married, and this guy named Elliot insisted that they get married, do the whole family thing. She got a sucker down by the judge or something like that. But
he adopted them all,
but then left after a year.
It's pretty horrible.
But it was pretty hopeful. He goes, well, is your mom still, you know, what's your mom, you know, still around? So he goes, no, she died. And he goes, but we sent her into, she says she's in space. He goes, what? Oh, she died. He goes, that was her, you know, she was into astrology. So we spent $12,000 and a company launched her into space. So
I wonder if that was her wedding budget.
Ah, I bet you that's what it was.
Now we see why the wedding took so long to happen.
There you go. Good job. Hey, good job, Jay. Then they kiss, then they dance, and then she tells Tommy the answer he wanted to hear in the car. She wanted Tommy to get pregnant. Wanted to make him pregnant.
So again, Connie's like, oh, Jack was right.
Yeah, it happens. Well, you know.
This is like...
It's like going
it's
back
like Christmas for you right now.
It is. It's like when they were you know, back in the day in Lost when, you know, Lindelof would listen to an episode and go, "Oh, that would be a good scene." I'm not saying that's what they did, but
well, now I guess would you say her pregnant or him pregnant with the idea of, you know, becoming
I think that's the thing that, you know, she was saying.
Yeah, when I'm pregnant your mind.
Yeah. There you go. Either way. Either way, she's with child. Now I'm thrown off because I'm so perfect. she walks out. Tommy just kind of looks and goes, wait, this is it? So then he follows her out. And so then when the next thing, they're in the car again. They're driving up. They pull up to a compound. A big guy, big scary looking guy, gets out and he writes down, you know, he doesn't say anything to her. He writes down the word situation.
Yep.
Dude comes running out. He starts to write down. He goes, just tell me. Just communicate. Says, someone got on the property. I said, oh, this can't be good because you see all these people standing around. They're all smoking. They're all it
doesn't not look white though. They're kind of wearing whatever clothes they're comfortable with.
Yeah, it looks like cowboys. Look like they just got off the range or something like that. They just, you know, on a long drive. It's a young kid, kind of a young looking kid, probably in his 20s, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And the guy tells her, yeah, he's on a bike path, got off the, you know, got about 1,000 feet off the course or whatever, yeah, like that. And she goes, did he see anything? Well, we think he did. You know, he goes, I didn't see nothing. I don't know. I didn't see nothing. I didn't see nothing. He goes, well, we can just leave him here till after tomorrow, then let him go. And she says, stone him.
It's like, dang.
I go, whoa, that's hardcore. Man. So then he's screaming as they're dragging him away. You know, the kid's like, I didn't do anything. And he's toast. I thought Tommy might do something, but
yeah.
What's he going to do? I mean, at this point, what's he going to do? He runs up to Meg. He goes, what are you doing? She goes, what are you doing? She goes, I'm following you. You don't need to follow me. You wanted to come to Texas. Here you are.
Yeah.
Goes, what do you want me to do? She picks up a rock, a big stone, and says, make yourself useful. I go, wow, she wants to go hit. And I go, is Tommy going to go throw a rock at this guy?
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He puts the rock down, and Meg walks into the barn. Tommy stares at the barn. So something going on with the barn. And does she want Tommy to know what's in the barn? I mean, he's there for the guy and the kid. Did he see something? Then she leaves him behind. She walks in the barn with him standing right there.
Yeah.
And she's been playing head games with Tommy the whole time. So something's going on with Tommy, Meg, obviously, and what's going on. So Tommy's, it's later on that night, Tommy's staring at the barn. I guess the guy's already been stoned because you don't hear him yelling. You don't hear him yelling anymore. Some girl comes up to Tommy, writes down, did you come with Meg?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And she goes, she's going to change everything. And then Meg drives away listening to Olivia Newton-John. You have
Dancing
to believe it.
Queen.
Wasn't it? No, this has to be this magic.
Oh, I know. I was just...
So magic, miracle.
Again, yeah. This whole have our own town named Magic, I think works out pretty
exactly
well.
So, again, I said without even trying to say it. So they. And who doesn't like Olivia Newton-John? You don't like her music?
She's okay. You know,
Let's get physical.
Physical. And I'm sorry, I was doing an ABBA song earlier. I apologize.
Yeah, ABBA.
They're
anyways,
the same, aren't they?
They're not the same.
I know, I'm kidding.
Jeez, man. Anyway, so Meg...
That was a nice ding of the cell phone there. It was a good placement.
Well, that was from your wife.
What is she? She knows we're recording.
So she's asking what my full name is.
Just say Jackson Reginald.
Llewellyn. I changed my name to Magic. Okay, so Meg drives away, listening to Olivia Newton-John. Meg goes to the trailer park. And you know when I'm looking through the names of all the people there?
Uh-huh.
IDBM. One of the names.
It's actors, IMDb, but yes.
IMDb, whatever it is. One of the persons said, one of the characters' name, Trailer Trash. I'm not making this up. If you go on there and look at this episode, I go, wow, okay, Trailer Trash.
That's a good name.
That's a good name.
20 years from now, that'll be an offensive name, but now
it's offensive now. It's offensive now. Let's see. So Meg goes to trailer park. She's looking at the bridge, and there's a couple, you know, people up there and stuff like that. Matt sees her and says, "Hey, Megan."
Which is kind of awkward that he's just that comfortable with her, even though, like, you know, she beat him up last season.
I think he's just a forgiving soul.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's true to character. I just thought it was kind of funny.
He's just the kind of guy that just goes, "Hey, okay, hey, how's it going, Megan?" You know, because in his mind, he was trying to do the right thing.
I love it. It's a callback to their season the reason why she flipped out is because he had a picture of her mother.
Yeah,
I thought that was great.
That was excellent. I'll be honest, Meg forgot about it. I forgot about it until he said it.
Yeah.
I go, that's right.
But I love that he ended up being her living reminder. I thought that was a nice little twist.
The scene was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was great acting, great. Everything was perfect with it. She's left the GRs, and now she said she's left the GRs, which I think she has because what she's been doing and planning on doing.
Yeah.
They had a great talk, great scene. Meg says that this place is safe. That's why we're here. It's magic. It's safe. We're here.
Yeah.
People on this side of the bridge are not on that side of the bridge are not suffering.
Yeah.
Like the rest of us, because nothing happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know. They don't, because when she goes there, they're all having a great time. They're all walking around until she sees Evie, and Evie looks like she's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Meg asks Matt what are they all waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
And she tells Matt, "You're waiting for me."
Yeah.
And he's kind of.
It's a great.
It was a great scene. Great scene. Great acting. Fantastic. And she, like I said, she's so evil in this.
Well, like her hubris is just so.
Yeah, and she's just like she's stone faced. You just don't see that in her. You know, I'm still thinking of the girl and That Thing You Do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just throwing me all off. So next scene, Tommy heads into the barn. I'm like, Tommy, don't, Tommy, what are we gonna do with you, Tommy?
Yeah,
don't go in the barn. He sees a trailer. Pulls on the door, but it's locked. Gets an axe. He's prying the door open. And Evie opens the door. We don't see it first. He's just staring first. And I go, what does he see? What does he see? I go, are they not going to show us? But it's not lost. It's the leftovers. So they do show us. He asks her who she is. And she writes down, it doesn't matter.
Boom.
So I was like going, oh, my God, I can't wait for next week's episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a great close to a great episode. Great twist, you know. And again, check out that Variety article. Just go to Variety. It's about the leftovers. And it's just really, it was a good setup. It was a good backstory the whole season. Like, it was a cool twist. It was really, really neat. Because I didn't expect we were going to get the answer to why Evie disappeared. And it was kind of, it was a great way to reveal it.
Yeah, I just was perfect. I just thought it was a perfect episode.
Absolutely. 100% agree. 100%
agree. Well, I'm watching. I go, is this whole episode going to be about Meg?
Yeah.
Because the way they left us last week, I go, you know, I've criticized other shows for doing that where they kind of just jump all around. But this episode
It would have been worse if it was like Kevin Garvey died and then it went to Meg. But they resolved that before they went to Meg. So I think it was a better order.
It was. And I was like, exactly. If they would have had, you know, where he's laying there on the floor. And then a month later, we find out what happens to this character. Yeah, and then I'm going to be ticked off.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They the next week, they fantastic episode, and they came back with another great episode.
Yeah. But also, it wasn't just Meg. It also kind of caught us up with Tommy.
Tommy.
His mom's story.
Lori. And you see why they're all coming together, why they're all heading to the same place. And what's going to happen next is we don't know.
Yeah, the past will converge in the season finale next week. So it's very, very exciting.
Is it the season finale next week?
Season finale. We're there.
Oh, bummer.
Too soon.
Okay. All right.
But that is it for what we thought about it. Now it's time to get into Jack's crackpot theory of the week. I know it's a lot to ask you to recap and crackpot, but
it is a lot of work because we had no phone calls.
No, I'm surprised. I think
because this episode was just, huh? I mean, there's anything on the Facebook page you saw that I've been out of the loop because I've been out of town. So
no, I mean, again, good discussions as always. You can check those out at facebook.com/group/JayandJackGroup. Like I said, that Variety article was very good with Damon Lindelof. And again, if you want to call for the finale next week, it's 385-309-0311. Once again, it's 385-309-0311.
And the show always works better. Yeah, it always works better when we have feedback.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree.
Not begging for it, but it does.
Well, yeah, it's a Thanksgiving weekend. It's probably, you know, people are getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah, I see.
All right. Well, let me get the drum set ready.
All right.
All right, what do you got for us?
All right, so we see Meg. She's snorting cocaine in the first opening scene she's doing. And
yeah.
She has. So obviously, she's a troubled. She's not a happy person.
Yeah.
So whatever has happened to her in life, she's not happy.
Well, I guess maybe there might be coke doers out there that are happy. I don't know.
No, but I think. But she's.
But it's true.
She did say. She goes, "I'm ready now," or something. She said something to that effect that I'm ready now. I can deal with my mom now.
Yeah.
She comes to lunch, and then after just 10 minutes, her mom saying, "Oh, you know, I want to pay for the wedding. I want to do this. I want to do that." You know, it's just, there's some friction there. I think she tolerates her mom. I think deep down she cares about her mom, but there's something happening with her mom, and I think it all goes back to Elliot.
Uh huh.
And so I think whatever Isaac told her, whatever her mom was going to tell her, had something to do with Isaac. And I think that's what pushed her, not had something to do with Elliot. I think that's what pushed her over the edge. That something, either she found Elliot or she did something like that. And because I think she felt abandoned from Elliot and the whole family situation. And who knows how the mother was, the whole, you know, did she have another husband? What happened with Meg's life that we're not seeing?
Yeah.
But I think they were telling us in so many words that she's has issues with her mom.
Yeah.
And the Elliot thing, for her to tell Tommy that, was something obviously they share. So maybe that's why she wanted to be, you know, have his baby too.
So
I don't know.
A bit of all the best cowgirls have mommy issues.
Mommy issues. So I think whatever Isaac told her had something, and what's pushed her over the edge is Elliot. Something to do with Elliot. It's just the trigger that's like, boom, that's it. Boom. And that's what her mom was going to tell her, something about Elliot. And that's my crackpot theory. And since I've been with like 100% today.
Yeah, on fire.
So why would anyone doubt what I'm saying?
I agree.
And if you do doubt me, I will give you a hug to make you to bring you into this inner circle here of making you take away your doubtness or your –
yeah.
I'm losing a word here.
Pain,
I'm losing
your down, I'm, down pain.
Not your pain, your lack of –
faith?
Faith. Yeah, there you go. Faith. Lack of faith in me. I don't even have to hug you. I'll just do it with the Darth Vader style. I can do it any state you're in. I just think about it.
All right. Well, that is it for this week's Leftovers with Jay and Jack. Give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Calling time!
Once again, it's 385-309-0311. Calling time for questions, comments,
and theories.
Also, you can send an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com.
Sure.
Also, you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JayandJackGroup. Also, you can become a patron today and support this show over at patreon.com/JayandJack. That's patreon.com/JayandJack. Thank you to all the patrons that make this show possible, and a special thanks to Tack from Tokyo and Eckhard Richter. Thank you very much. All right, guys, that is it for this week's show. Hopefully, I'll be in better health next week for the finale, which I'm sure is going to be great. Hasta luego, and goodbye.
Bye.